who's gonna intro?
You can do it. I didn't write any notes, as you know.
Okay.
Yeah, Wacko's Wait is my roundhouse.
I'll do it. Yeah. I'll do it. Okay. So, welcome all you happy holiday campers to a Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah special at Anime Was Not a Mistake. I'm, of course, the fester of cheer, Jonathan Kwiatkowski, here, as always, with my co-host.
I'm in charge of cutting the snowflakes. I'm Dan Ryan.
And from across the sea, not really, but in Southtown, we're on air live with a correspondent, none other than...
Hello, it is I, Grant Farouk, here again.
Oh, he's returned.
Did you say you were the fester of cheer?
Yeah, I'm the fester of cheer.
What is a fester?
It's like Uncle Fester, but for Christmas.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
So you're the Uncle Fester of cheer?
I put a Christmas bulb in my mouth and it lights up.
Do you combine fester with festive, jester with festive?
Yeah,
okay.
I think well, that's what I meant.
It was a portmanteau.
And I'm wishing you all a tsundere Merry Christmas.
Well, you know, I mean, we brought Grant back. We always bring him back for special events.
We let him out of the cage.
But as we emphasized, over the past 3 weeks, we've watched three cinematic features that Grant would have loved and would have blown his mind, and yet it's only been Cats and this that we've
I'm back. Yeah, I know. You pull me in for Cats, and then like you sleep on me for I wanted to watch Kill la Kill. I didn't even know you were doing it.
And, don't lose your way. We're not done with it yet. We'll invite you for the finale.
There's plenty of that.
But yeah, apparently this vampire movie is like right up my alley.
Yeah, and if Grant had a social media, we would tell you to hound him, but he doesn't, so you can't bother him.
No, I watched The Social Dilemma, and I realized I'm ahead of the curve.
So before we begin, lots of news to talk about this week.
Yep.
In lieu of a tangent, we're going to speak on any anime or life updates that are adjacent to such. Now, anyone want to go first?
Well, I actually watched an anime recently.
You did? All by yourself?
I did. All on my own. It's called Keep Your Hands Off Ezuken, or I don't know how you pronounce it, but yeah, it was pretty good. It's one of those slice of life type animes that are popular with the children these days, but it's about these three girls in school who start a club for creating anime. So it's humorous. It's good. Just watch it.
Sounds like the three of us.
Yeah, well, we remember those days.
Yeah.
I mean, all the times I wanted Dan to paint me nude. Shunned away.
Tasteful, the key word.
This
isn't
the location for it. It's a biology classroom, Jonathan. good times. But I'm glad you enjoyed it. There's a lot of slice of life anime that are going around that are very humorous. I don't remember their names, but there's one that's like cutely drawn, but the characters overreact to everything.
And I feel like that's most of them. I'm usually not a huge fan of the slice of life types. Anyway, I liked this one. It was good.
Were you talking about Pop Team Epic?
After Pop Team Epic. There's a lot, though, in like the vein of Lucky Star and stuff that, you know, it's either hit or miss with most of us. But I'm glad you enjoyed an anime. Look, we're changing the masses, Dan. We did it.
We're trying. Convert one soul at a time and then...
and scare away 10. We'll work it out. Dan, any life anime video game updates to share?
Well, I would assume the bulk of the video game mental erosion that we're going to talk about will be at the end of this segment, but as Grant mentioned before we started recording, we got a lot of Star Wars news this week. We got a lot of Marvel news and Disney animated and live action feature news. That whole Disney Investor Day happened. It was,
pleasing.
I had no idea what to anticipate because you don't know if those things are like, it just, because in the past they've just been like investor conference calls where they title drop stuff, but this was like a whole
Zoom with the mouse,
you know, like the. the virtual green screen world, and they were announcing projects one by one, and we got a shitload of stuff.
Any favorites that stand out to y'all?
Let's see. There's a lot of Star Wars. I'm pretty excited about Ahsoka's series. The big reveal was that Hayden Christensen is joining the Obi-Wan series.
He will return
as Darth Vader, which we'll see how that goes. It should be interesting. What else, Dan? There is other stuff.
The Bad Bitch.
The Bad Batch animated series. I think Rangers of the New Republic was announced.
There's one called The Acolyte too, which sounds kind of intriguing.
Yeah, it's that's supposed to be like a dark mystery thriller. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be, because I've been talking up that High Republic thing they're doing soon, and that's apparently gonna tie into that. And then we got Patty Jenkins directing Rogue Squadron, so that should be there's iterations of Rogue Squadron that are always crowd pleasers, so I think a lot of people will be, you know, they'll enjoy that, because not only is it, you know, it seems like they're doing things smarter than they have been doing them. Like we're gonna have a stretch of content where people can stay entertained with Disney Plus, and then you give the movies enough time to cool off, and then you make another movie, and not like not what happened. So, but you know, I'm legitimately excited. It seems that Grant is excited. My brother,
he's practically jumping up and down in his chair.
My brother was even saying like, "Oh, it feels like people are like, this is the kind of thing they needed to actually get people looking forward to stuff again." So yeah, they needed that, and I'm looking forward to it.
My favorite Star Wars news was Taika Waititi being informed that he's directing a future movie and going, "What?" On Twitter, he responded, "What am I doing?"
he's been given some project that I think is after Rogue Squadron. They showed off like a interesting looking like title artwork for it or something, but he, you know, everyone loves him, and he tweeted something like, "I can't wait to destroy the lore and make everyone upset again." And he's, you know, so I'm
Team Taika.
All good stuff, you know, coming around. And then High Republic starts next year, and again, they can take a little bit of time to get their footing, and then Mando is still going strong. The other stuff seems to be still going strong, so yeah. Just
Mando's good. Real good.
Yeah, that's what Dan says. Now I have to believe.
Do you believe? In...
We'll get there. While we're on the Disney train, a few things have been revealed that is actually close to my heart that made me take a pause. We got Hocus Pocus 2, allegedly, with the original cast returning and all their old glory. So we can't wait to see Bette Midler, Kathy Ninjabee, and Sarah Jessica Parker strut their way back on. We've got Sister Act 3 with Whoopi.
Didn't even see that.
What else would I tell you about? We got the Tiana series.
Disenchanted
with Nicest Lady in Hollywood. Amy Adams coming back. Very excited for that. We got Zootopia Plus for Grant. You know, I get Grant back on the show. We just watch Zootopia 24 times in a row, and he'll be there every time.
I've already done that. I think I'm all Zootopia'd out for the rest of my life.
Well, there was a lot of like, I think they're rebooting Turner and Hooch. Mighty Ducks.
They're doing a lot of they're rebooting like Three Men and a Baby and Turner and Hooch and like these really old like things. I was just like, why the fuck are they?
I'll be there for Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, whatever. We'll see how it goes. But
aside from the Disney stuff, I recently caught up on the Has-Been Hotel spinoff. They had a new episode of Hell of a Boss on YouTube. YouTube is the spinoff version of Has-Been Hotel. And I only bring this up because, Grant, this YouTube series, now you have to remember the series is greenlit by A24 in production now. They got three Broadway voices that we'd actually be familiar with. They have Bryce Pinkman, who's Monty.
Oh, Bryce Pinkman?
Yeah, in How to Get Away. It's murder.
How to succeed in murder with
in murder.
No, it's no. How to get away. What the hell is that show called?
It's like the Victorian era murder show that isn't How to Succeed in Business and Get Away.
My God, I keep wanting to say How to Get Away with
Murder. It's like the longest title in Broadway history, and now I'm upset that
we don't know. Oh my God, yeah, I can't remember it. But it's, yeah, all right, I'm looking this up because it's.
They've got our girl Barrett Wilbur Weed from Heathers, our Veronica. And they had Alex Brightman Beetlejuice from Beetlejuice in there. So I was like, this YouTube series. Now with A24's backing, is getting some quality vocal talent. Not to say that they did not have it before, but it was a fun time.
The you show, showed me a little... the show in question that Bryce Pinkham starred in is A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder.
Ah, yes. There we go. Another fun farce, and he's a fun little voice. I recommend it. It's Invader Zim-esque. If that was your thing, it's like all the people at Hot Topic would go wild over this show.
Yeah, it's got like that manic energy to it, and that it's funny. I thought it was funny.
Are you talking about A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder?
No, we're talking about Hazbin Hotel and Hell and Boston.
Yeah. Wait, so all right, so they only have like one episode of that show, right?
They have one YouTube episode that was like sponsored by Patreon and Kickstarter, and then it got picked up by A24, and that's in production. And then their spinoff series is solely on YouTube, set in the same universe. It's called Hell of a Boss.
All right. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you for clearing that up.
And that's anime adjacent, I guess.
Also we got a lot of Marvel stuff too. We got, you know, trailers for WandaVision, which looks fascinating. Falcon and Winter Soldier. We got. I think they announced the cast for like Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings or whatever. Which, if weebs are paying attention, it sounds like it's going to be like a fighting tournament. Like it's going to be like an anime style fighting tournament between a bunch of villains and such. So you know where you'll find me in there. I think they confirmed that they're not going to recast Chadwick Boseman. They're just going to respect, you know, Black Panther 2 when that happens. It'll just be like, you know.
Well, they should just have like Shuri take the mantle.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just, it's going to be, I wonder how they're going to like handle like that, the character death, because it'll just be kind of like off screen, but I guess, but I don't know.
Well, we've always, as Star Wars taught us, you don't want to CGI them into the movie, so hopefully...
As The Sopranos taught me, you don't want to CGI the actress's face after she died that one season with past lines, because it's horrific, so... Because
the Uncanny Valley still runs pretty deep, so you want to be careful. But then we got Sam Raimi making Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Grant's favorite.
We got old Spider-Man villains like Alfred Molina's Doc Ock.
I was gonna say, Dan, you were missing out the hype train for Spider-Man 3. Everyone's excited.
Everyone's here.
Yeah, everyone is here.
Will all the Aunt Mays meet?
Marissa Tomei.
Rosemary Harris?
Yeah. Was Aunt May in Amazing Spider-Man? I guess she must have been, right?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. I don't remember who played her. I think it was Sally Fields?
Oh, yeah, it was Sally Fields. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because that was the one where she becomes a nurse and then doesn't do anything for the rest of the movie. So that was...
I just want to see the Aunt May's deck it out.
Yeah, that's the showdown we've all been waiting for.
Clash of Legends.
Or like the scene in Endgame where, like, instead of all the female superheroes facing down Thanos, it's just all the Aunt Mays
versus the Doc Ocks.
The animated one is in there too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
but yeah, we got that stuff. We got I think they confirmed like Miss Marvel. They confirmed Captain Marvel 2, She-Hulk. Moon Knight. A lot of stuff.
LA's favorite superhero, Moon Knight.
Well, they got like I think they just confirmed that a lot of stuff that they've been teasing is actually happening, so that's good. All Disney Plus content. I think when all said and done, they were like, it's going to be 10 Star Wars things on Disney Plus and then 10 Marvel things on the same, you know, so clearly there's more to come. But speaking of legends clashing, gray-haired legends meeting in the field.
My favorite segment of the show, do you want to build a Smash fan?
Yeah.
He's got to smell real bad. Oh. If another anime swordsman gets in, he starts to win, they're going to get real sad. If you haven't heard, robbed John Fortnite is not in Smash. pulling my hair out as we speak.
But we kid.
Yeah,
Sephiroth. Sephiroth, of course, the original bad boy of gaming of the 90s is in Smash Bros. So.
And it was a great time. I was just playing a recent video game and turned off at just the right time to see him be revealed. And I breathed a sigh of relief because I said this could be so much worse.
Yeah,
I think the world breathed a sigh of relief.
Well, after Minecraft Steve, anything is possible.
I'm actually excited for Minecraft Steve. Or actually, is he?
He's in.
Oh, okay.
He's
in. I just haven't played him yet. But I think he's fine. I just, like, there's not John a character Fortnite. In Fortnite, right? I thought they were all just, like,
John
player
Fortnite.
Avatars.
You want to say John Forsythe, but that's not
no,
like...
No, John Fortnite.
I'd take John Forsythe over John Fortnite.
What have we all, but I am nonetheless excited that Final Fantasy is getting this hype and that Square seemingly has a great relationship with Nintendo.
Yeah.
Because nowadays a lot of people don't have a great relationship with Nintendo, especially the fans. So
especially the Smash fans.
Well, Sephiroth kind of overshadowed that, but like he
swept that under the rug real easy.
You know, in his timeline altering shenanigans, his hashtags surpassed that hashtag, so I don't. If anyone wants to talk, I don't.
I'm just excited. That's
I don't
I
give a damn.
And now we just don't know who to predict for the final three slots because Sephiroth was not on anyone's expectation list. So
my Rhythm Heaven rep is still in the running.
He is.
He is the question.
Well,
he is.
I would say anything is in the.
I don't think he is, but I still hope. It's all my characters never get revealed.
Every time we think Sakurai is gonna zig, he zags. Yeah. So who knows?
I don't know. Will we get Master
or Fighter Shoot? Pass? Fighter Pass 3.
Yeah,
you know.
Can you imagine? I never stop working, says Sakurai.
Yeah,
I still want the Grinch in.
The famed Grinch leaks from yesteryear.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that was. Just everyone was talking about the Grinch leaks. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
What a time to be alive. Oh. That was...
Oh my god.
And then that fateful day arrived when Incineroar and Ken got revealed, and I rejoiced. At the end of Return of the Jedi, I celebrated.
And the rest of us
everyone
were sitting
was
there
like, God damn it.
Because no one proved the Grinch leaks wrong, right?
Yeah.
The Grinch leaks, it was just a huge hoax.
No, like, because Ken, if it was just Ken, that kept the Grinch feasible, but Incineroar could
shut
not work with
the
Grinch,
down.
So it was like
settled down.
Oh yeah. That was like before the game came out, right? My God, yeah. God, it's been so long with all these leaks and stuff. I just remember the Grinch leaks. It's like, what the fuck are Grinch leaks? I thought somebody had leaked that the Grinch was gonna be in.
I mean, I could see it now.
He steals Christmas as his final smash. He runs you over with the big sled filled with toys, tooting on his horn.
He'd have like a heart meter instead of a.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, you have to charge it. Go hold down B to charge up his heart.
So they can grow three times.
And then he can punch you off the stage when it's.
Yeah, he throws you off to the side of Mount Crumpet.
He brings out the roast beast and smacks him over the head with it.
Yeah, no, that's his side special. Bring out a roast beast.
I'm sure someone's tried it.
Mm.
You mod DK into it.
He's got the hands for it.
Yeah.
He fits. Now we can return to video game news, the big thing on the docket, let's say.
Yeah.
A certain game came out by the name of Cyberpunk 2077. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, I said that right. It's I think it's good just going in. As the dev.
Yeah.
So have you played it? You're playing it?
Yeah, we've been playing it since it came out. We've been really excited for it. We both have PS5s. Yeah. But the internet
has PS5s?
Yeah.
I didn't know you got PS5s.
We didn't ask.
Well, he hasn't been on the show. And... yeah,
that's true. We got you out of the cage for Christmas. So
We both managed to. Jonathan got his, but then Matt Cabrera's,
magical wares.
No knowledge of the ins and outs managed to get me one too. So it was a Thanksgiving miracle.
But I mean, I'm just going and saying this blind. The internet is really upset over this game. And this is the first time that I've been like really involved in a AAA launch that just came out of this like caliber and genre of game. And I just see a lot of bitter people online, and it very much upsets me.
All right. Well, everyone has been hyping this game for like 2 years. And like, it's like one of those things where the game can't possibly live up to people's expectations.
We all agree on. Yes.
I say this as someone who has not been on the hype train for Cyberpunk and has not played it. So, you know, take that into account. But it just seems like there was so much hype over this game. It was ridiculous.
No, and we've like touched upon that whenever we've talked about this game pre-release, like in our previous episodes or whatever. But you know, you think it was announced like 8 years ago, but I think production only started in earnest like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it was clearly like one of those things where they had like a proof of concept trailer or whatever, and then you know. It got the hype generated, but the game was not being made for 8 years. It was not, if anything, maybe people were making like art assets for it, perhaps, but it was not, you know, it was not an 8 year long development cycle, but I think people were convinced that it was. So when it comes out to not perfection, it is, you know, and again, like we don't mean to. We're not speaking down to anyone who, you know, doesn't have access to a PS5 or a PC or anything. It's just like the online discussion of this game has just gotten so
toxic in like minutes.
Like up until the release day, it was like CD Projekt Red, they are the saviors of gaming, and then the clock struck midnight and it was like they deceived us.
Yeah.
They tricked us and we, you know, and we're going to it's one of those things where you gotta wonder, like, I mean, there's so many ways to look at it, and it's like, okay, yeah, they did not show older console gameplay beforehand, so they clearly, from a marketing standpoint, did not want people seeing that stuff, but it's like, I feel like if it was any other game besides Cyberpunk, whenever these tech issues come up, they're like,
I'm gonna play on my PC and be fine.
But now they're upset because it's affecting them, and it's. I mean, again, we when we've talked about this game, we're going into it for we wanted a beautiful cyberpunk landscape to just dick around in, and that's what we got. Yeah. That's what we've been getting.
I'm satisfied. The thing that irks me is that it's an RPG, and I see people online like, oh, I can't stand these missions I gotta do to level up my stats. And I'm like, but have you ever played an RPG before, you silly internet children? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And I agree there are some glitchy aspects to it.
No,
but,
certainly,
But any game of this size is going to have glitches in it. And it's nothing game-shattering like me. Like, the things that I've encountered is maybe a few, like, visual things, whether looking at your character, or, like, once in a while you'll see someone randomly T-posed in the corner, but it hasn't detracted from, like, anything.
No, like, the only things close to bugs that I've encountered are things that I've encountered in other open-world things, like Spider-Man or AC Odyssey, like, where something in the environment doesn't trigger correctly, and then it messes up the little sub-quest you're on, because... Mm-hmm. Like a car is blocking the bad guy who's running away or something. And it's just, you know, random chance. But I have not encountered anything game breaking in the time that I have had the PS5 so far, the only time, knock on wood, that my PS5 has blipped out of a game was Demon's Souls. Mm. Like, one of the first times I booted it up, it, like, it black screened on me, and I'm like, oh no.
No, I mean, there is some legitimate with people with Last of Us. People were like, oh, I, you know, Joel was killed in this, like, brutal way, and then you have to play as his killer for half the game. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, that's a fair reason to not enjoy the game. But then other people were just like, oh, she's obviously, like, trans. I'm just like, oh, God, just cut it out. Just suck it.
Because she's buff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that would be like, the same thing. Well, so that's the thing, too, is, like, she's built, like, a brick house. And, like, at first, I was like, oh, is she just, like, really buff for some strange reason? And they kind of explain it, too, like, because she starts out kind of, like, you know, average. And then, I don't know, it makes sense in the story. Like, everything, I think, is pretty well done in that game, story-wise. And again, just the gameplay is phenomenal. Oh, God. I just hate that, like, you know, a game with so much detail and such good storytelling and such really good gameplay got, like, butchered so much because people are assholes.
But, yeah.
Oh, well.
And it's like, a recurring thing. And if, I mean, we're gonna... Jonathan's going to edit around because we had like a technical bit there, but you know, we're talking about Vidya and we're talking about, you know, games and how they're reacted to. And it just, it was just we got a lot of amazing games this year and the discourse is always like a fucking nightmare.
Like I even hate gamers too. Like
gamers are terrible. they're just the terrible. Worst. They're the worst. I mean, as I was saying to these guys in our technical interlude there, the whole fiasco surrounding The Last of Us Part 2 has made me lose all faith in gamers as a society, as a community. I'm just like, it's real bad.
It's just too much, and I'm just afraid that these people can't see themselves, and then I look at, like, you know, the state of our world, and I'm like, well, it makes sense now then, I guess. Yeah. That
It's just like, there's, like, a level of hypocrisy sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, again, we got a lot of amazing games this year. We got, like, you know, Last of Us Part II, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, and everything, and then when the Game of the Year awards happened, all the discussion, okay, we gotta upvote Ghost of Tsushima to spite The Last of Us Part II. But then if you go into discussions about Ghost of Tsushima, they're like, oh, I hate it because it's open world nonsense. And and I don't want to, like, if we're dropping game recs, sincerely recommend Ghost of Tsushima because it's like playing a samurai movie. Cannot recommend that game enough. But it's like, they don't really like that one either. They're just like, we need to spite this other thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just... You get the feeling that it's not really about video games, you know,
in The Last of Us, it's just so stupid too, because, like, if you actually play the game, it's just such a really, like, even if you just ignore the story, the game itself is fantastic, but the story, I feel, is very bold and very interesting and really well told, even if there may be parts of it you don't like, but people, like, shit on it for other reasons, which is kind of sad to see, but it's just a shame. It's a real shame.
Hopefully our tangent isn't going on too long here, it's just something to emphasize as people who enjoy movies and video games and stories and such, that despite what the internet has joked about for these past couple years, it's usually a good thing when a story kind of subverts what you're expecting.
Because why do you want to watch, like, or listen to the same story every single time?
But even so, no matter what your expectations are, that's just a story. Mm-hmm. Like, every story since the beginning of time that's been interesting is like, I didn't expect this to happen. And that's just a regular plot. That's called, you know, a plot arc. That's what happens. Things change, mm-hmm. and it's just, it's become this thing where it's like, well, it's not pleasing. Yeah. So
I wasn't smart enough to think of the ending, so it, eh.
It's just, you know, and I mean, I guess we can loop that back around to yeah. Cyberpunk, because that's yeah. been this whole thing, is yeah. like, they don't really care about the final product, they mm-hmm. care that seemingly the thing that they were expecting was not met, yeah. and what they were expecting was really vague, and it was based on, again, that mm-hmm. cinematic trailer from however many years back, and it's like, I wanted Blade Runner anime RPG, which are blah blah blah, yeah. and it's, and at some point it stopped being that, mm-hmm. and the mood turned, mm-hmm. and it's just like, just play something else.
Read a book. Take a shower. That's all I recommend. Like, calm down.
It's, you know, life is too short. Just be cool. Just, you know, it's a video game.
Yeah.
Well, to relate yeah. this all back to Wacko's Wish.
Yes, our seminal classic that we're watching tonight, Wacko's Wish.
Yeah, I didn't have a transition there. Trying to get us back on track.
No.
Childhood whimsy.
Childhood whimsy.
Not taking yeah. ourselves seriously, and just, you know, we can make fun of everything. So mm. it's Animaniacs.
Yeah, so thank you for letting us get that off our chest. Yeah. We just wanted to voice our concerns to someone else other than the two of us and our audience.
Yeah.
So Grant, we invited you from your winter palace to watch a movie with us that you got to choose, yeah. basically. Mm. Wacko's Wish. Why this movie, Grant?
Well, as you know, this year, Hulu released their Animaniacs reboot revival thing. So I have had Animaniacs on the brain, and I said, hey, what about Wacko's Wish? Because I think we've made reference to Wacko's Wish several times over the course mm-hmm. of our friendship. And yeah, I just kind of like the movie. It's a good zany Christmas cartoon.
Mm. So yeah. it's a perfect foot to our... You know,
the holiday, not spooktacular. Yeah. holiday.
We didn't plan a name for it. We're sorry.
Holiday Santacular. Yeah, I don't know.
We got you some new artwork. That's about it. But I'm excited that Grant gets to join us for a series of holiday themed movies that we all know and love. Some surprises, mm-hmm. some gasps, some horrors on the way.
Plenty of gasps, I imagine.
But I'm very excited for this. I think I remember this movie from Grant, definitely. I watched a lot because it was always on Cartoon Network or something back in the day. And I think Grant, like, said, hey, what's up one time? And I, like, poked my head out of the window and was like, what's all this noise? And
then Grant was like... went through the whole thing of, it's the Water Girls and the Water Boys. They gather around the Winter's Village Square. They say something's way up there. I could quote the whole song.
I'm sure we can, yeah.
That's yeah, how I am. I had this movie on VHS as a young child, and yeah, for some reason I watched it a lot. I like it. It's a good movie. Mm-mm.
Dan, your experience with Wacko's Wish?
Well, it's been many years since I saw it, but obviously we all enjoyed Animaniacs on Kids WB. Mm-hmm. I think we have many fond memories of Kids WB that... You know, hopefully, maybe someday we'll get to cover them here.
Fighting Foodons.
Jackie Chan Adventures.
Fighting Foodons was the Fox box.
It's close enough. It was only a few channels away.
That was the channel you flipped to when something stupid was on Kids WB.
That had Kirby right back at you.
It did.
Oh. Yeah.
But you know, Batman the Animated Series. We've talked. You know, Batman Beyond. Mm-hmm. Cubics, I believe.
Cubics.
Robots for everyone.
Yeah. I flipped to the Fox box when Cubics came. Yeah. I did not. You bet
we
all did.
We shuffled on over to the Fox box.
obviously, Pokemon. Yeah. Obviously, Pokemon yeah. is there.
Yeah. Yu-Gi-Oh. Yu-Gi-Oh.
Make it to like Deke.
Oh yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh. But no, the Animaniacs was on there. I think it was kind of one of the standout comedy things that they had in that block,
yeah.
usually. I mean, I'm seeing from your notes.
I think of like Earthworm Jim.
Yeah.
What's the one with the crazy hair? Freakazoid.
Yeah. Tiny Toons Adventures.
Yep.
Yeah, so all good stuff. You know, which I think they're also rebooting soon.
Yeah, no, they announced they're going to reboot Tiny Toons, I think. And then
I thought you meant Cubix for a second.
Oh, Cubix. Well, yeah, no, everyone's waiting for an HD remaster of Cubix.
Cubix.
Yeah, HBO Max.
Yeah. It's Max. Will be the series. Oh, get us in a writer's room.
Oh, God, Cubix was animated in like on like a toaster.
We just say that, but we also love Code Lyoko.
We are not shitting on anything.
We don't
we're
cast
like
stones.
The charm of these things was never that. Yeah. That was just you know.
That was,
it was
second seat.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, it's in entire need of some love. So,
right.
If Cubix even has home video releases, I don't.
I think that one's been lost. I think it's been lost to time. It's one of those ones that
you have to write the Michigan J to get the rights out of the vault.
No, it's one of those things that literally has like no fans, so it's not able to be pirated. It's not available in legitimate media. It's just gone to time.
It's been destroyed.
But yeah, I mean,
buried in a landfill in New Mexico.
Yeah, like all the copies of E.T. But, you know, Animaniacs was always quality. Obviously, Steven Spielberg had a little hand in getting that going and then getting the reboot going, too. Mm-hmm. So it was very much like a WB labor of love, I think.
It's one of those shows that you can watch as an adult and be like, oh, look at all these references to celebrities and shit that was going on during the time period. That's actually funny.
Yeah.
So I love that whenever pop culture is mixed right into children's television.
Yeah. And the whole setting it in, like the WB film studio was, I think, a stroke of genius, because you could do pretty much unlimited jokes with that. Mm-hmm. Like they did their little, like the cartoon, like when they're in different time periods and everything. But it's like they're in like a movie land anyway. Yeah. So it all
fits.
It makes for a very flexible premise. So. Mm.
So, Grant, did you bring any gifts to decorate our drawing board with? Any notes on this franchise or movie?
I was tasked with the notes, but I failed to take any notes.
Well, don't worry, because when Grant's not ready, Jonathan steps in. Leave it to me.
Leave it to me.
Here we go. Wacko's Wish is a 1999 direct-to-video animated musical comedy based on the 1993-98 animated series Animaniacs, serving as the series finale until the announcement of the 2020 revival of the series. It relocates all of the Animaniacs characters to a quasi-19th century fairy tale world and portrays their race to find the wishing star that will grant them a wish.
One wish.
The film was first released on VHS on December 21st, 1999 by Warner Home Video under the Warner Brothers Family Entertainment label. It contains 10 original songs and features a majority of the voice cast reprising their respective roles from the TV show. Wacko's Wish, 10 original songs written by Tim Ruger and Randy Rogel, and songs composed by Animaniacs composer Richard Stone and Julie Bernstein. The compositions Stone wrote for the film were some of the last he wrote for Warner Brothers Animation prior to his death on March 9, 2001. Although Wacko's Wish has been highly rated amongst children and audiences in test screenings, in February 1999, Toon Zone...
Oh, we all remember Toon... Do we remember Toon Zone?
I ban you to the Toon Zone.
Well, more or less. But does anyone need...
I don't know what Toon Zone is.
What is Toon Zone?
I know Toontown.
That was the like the ruins of the Roman civilization. That's like ancient internet shit that's I don't think functional anymore, but that was your go-to for like
we step into the way back.
Was that was that like the cartoon brew of old days?
I think it was just like a fan operated news forum thing for toons. Yeah, and it was
Toons for toons.
I honestly don't know what became of it. I don't know if it is ruins like a Roman bath at this point, but I you know, giants once walked here. I don't know, but
giants stand. Giants walked in Toon Zone.
Well, those intrepid
who
kids
built this.
What did they do to it? It's like the end of the Planet of the Apes.
You're
blew it. The intrepid kid reporters at Toon Zone reported back that 97% of kids and parents gave it a review of highly positive, and that 98% of children screened gave the film a rating of good, very good, or excellent. So I don't get that 1% difference and the difference between highly positive and good, excellent, and whatever, but I'm not a Toon Zone reviewer, so... Warner Brothers decided to release it direct-to-video rather than spending money on marketing a wide release. Wacko's Wish was originally slated for VHS release in November 1998, but was pushed back to December 31st, 1999. On August 25th, 2008, Wacko's Wish was released for rental or purchase on iTunes. Wacko's Wish was also aired on cable networks such as Cartoon Network, where I always saw it, Cinemax, Boomerang, and more recently on the Hub, now Discovery Family. It also is available to download from the PlayStation Store. Why do I have this in my notes?
why do you have that on your notes?
I guess I need to give it a closer
read. 90% of these services are already dead, so I don't know.
They went the way of Toon Zone. The film was released on DVD on October 7, 2014, shortly after the deaths of Liz Holtzman in 2014 and Rusty Mills in 2012, two of the main directors of the film. Critical reviews for Wacko's Wish were generally positive. Many comments on the film focused on the introduction of a serious tone to a series known for its off-the-wall humor. Brett Rogers of Oh God, AOL Hometown gave the film a positive review, saying that there's a lot about this movie that will please die-hard Animaniacs fans, noting the appearances of almost all the main characters and antagonists of the original series. Rogers pointed that the pathos not usually seen in the series may leave some Animaniacs fans distant from the film, but that the serious tone is backed up with the superb voice acting by Paulson and Harnell and the rest of the cast. Other reviews were not so positive. Marianne Johansson, a flick philosopher with two F's in there, wrote that imposing the kind of story and characters necessary to fill a 90-minute movie upon the Animaniacs constrains their lunacy. It's like these fucking two-year-olds are reading like the New York Times critique.
Well, I also Reddit.
It's true. It's like the kids are having their black coffee in the morning, like, what's going on? The Animaniacs flopped.
Their lunacy is constrained by the...
It doesn't show the pathos that I am at.
Yeah, there's no pathos in this film.
So much that older kids and adult fans of the Warners et al. May be sorely disappointed when you're using et al. In a review for...
Well, alright, one thing I think we gotta note with Animaniacs, and I think the whole WB ensemble thing they had, was they got hassled by a lot of adult cartoon fans back in the day. Like, I think near the end of Animaniacs, they introduced, like, the comic book guy type antagonists, like, worst cartoon series, because, like, the Tiny Toons cast got harassed by, like...
Oh, God.
Like, it was either harassed or, like, a stalking case with, like, fans who were obsessed with Tiny Toons and keeping the Looney Tunes thing pristine. So, Animaniacs has never held back in mocking people who maybe take this a little too seriously. Yeah. So, yeah.
Other than that, Michael Stewart of Entertainment Weekly found the lack of the typical Animaniacs humor was positive, saying the film avoids the forced wackiness that plagues the television series while delivering some laughs for both kids.
The forced wackiness plagues the television series. It doesn't give us the stirring drama that we expect.
Oh, it gets better. However, he noted a similar criticism to Johansson, saying that placing the entire Animaniacs cast into the film felt uncomfortable, and that the warm sentiments of the film aren't the speciality of Animaniacs. He rated the film a C+ overall.
Who the fuck are these people?
I don't know.
These are the types of people that, in the cartoon, the Warners would hit over the head with a big mallet.
Michael DeKina of themoviereport.com gave one of the most positive reviews of the film, praising the film's smart, satiric in-jokes for the adults and broader slapstick for the young ones. DeKina said that the film was one glorious example of a family film that would appeal to the whole family, and rated the film with 3.5 out of 4 stars. In 2000, Wacko's Wish was nominated for 4 Annie Awards, one for Outstanding Achievement in an Animated Home Video Production, one for Outstanding Individual Achievement for Music in an Animated Feature Production, One for Outstanding Individual Achievement for Voice Acting by a Female Performer in Animated Production. This is, of course, Tress McNeil, who's in everything, always in everything, as Dot Warner and more. And one for an Outstanding Individual Achievement for Voice Acting by a Male Performer in the Animated Feature Production, Maurice LaMarche.
Also
the brain himself,
yeah.
Yes. Our favorite Orson Welles parody person. Yeah. He does it so well. It's perfect. Since its release, Wacko's Wish has been rated as one of the top 60 animated features never theatrically released in the United States. We could basically put anything on a list now if we've got the right name for it.
I would be interested to see that whole list.
I have a question before you move
yes.
on. What exactly are the Annie Awards? They always show up on Wikipedia pages that, oh, this won an Annie Award. And it's like,
we just think of like our Miyazaki going, because that's when like it came up, right?
It's just like one of the lesser publicized like
award
ceremonies. It's just specifically for animated features. Like, yeah. I think they give them for like children's cartoons and animated films and things that I would assume that it exists so that things that would never get looked at by like best animated feature can get a spot. Like it's like those lesser like sci-fi, like the Saturn Awards and stuff. Like I think it's just a way to showcase stuff.
Okay.
In the medium. And I'm trying to think. Yeah. GURM did one of them. GURM had some kerfuffle.
GURM
with,
presented?
With one of those.
The
yeah,
Hugo
not the
Hugo
Awards.
The
Hugo Awards. But yeah, Hugo. Hugo, yeah. Yeah. Mm. I believe. I don't know why I'm drifting, but
I'm just imagining Tilda Swinton presenting the award for best featured animated actress.
Yeah, she became animated.
Yeah.
Just
Tilda becomes an animation. She becomes a toon. Toon Tilda.
Toon Tilda.
Coming to Smash.
Pegasus is trump card.
And my last note, I just have the voice cast, so I'm going to try to go through this as quickly as I can. Rob Paulsen as Yakko Warner, Dr. Otto, Scratch and Sniff, and Pinky. Jess Harnell as Wacko Warner. Tress McNeil as Dot Warner, Hello Nurse. Marita Hippo, Mindy's mother. Maurice LaMarche as The Brain, Squint, and Wacko's Burps. We've got Sherry Stoner as fan favorite Slappy Squirrel, personal favorite of mine. Nate Ruger as Skippy Squirrel. Nancy Cartwright, who, of course, Lisa Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, no, that's not. That's Bart Simpson, sorry. As Mindy. We've got Frank Welker as everything, still and always Frank Welker.
Yeah.
Brad Thaddeus Von Plotz, Ralph the Guard, Runt Buttons. And then more, including, you know, Bernadette Peters. We've got some celebs in the cast as well. And just the fact that they were able to chuck themselves in and, you know, have fun while they're doing it.
Oh, yeah.
No. Also has a special.
Pre-nut job Ben Stein is in this movie, too. So.
Wow.
Yeah. You never know.
And that's my notes. So do we have any initial expectations before Grant segues us into the film?
Oh, I have to provide a segue?
Yeah, I did the heavy lifting, Grant. You gotta give your ear.
All right, I'll try to come up with something. But
I'm just excited. I think it's a fun time. It's got memorable music. I mean, I don't know if it has the pathos that I was seeking as a child.
Yeah.
But
yeah. This is not your grandma's Animaniacs. It's the Zack Snyder darker Animaniacs. But I don't know. I don't indulge in Christmas movies a whole lot, so I'm looking forward to a...
You're a Scrooge?
I don't know, I guess. Yeah, yeah. You know. Festive fun. Looking forward to it.
Yes, so am I.
Great.
All right. Well,
but the viewers at home don't know, but Grant is put that voice on because he's petting his cat, not on like a Bond villain.
Yeah. Perched on his couch. On his chase.
Excellent.
Excellent.
That cat could take a pet.
Alrighty. Without further ado, let us whisk ourselves away to where do they live in this in this special
Waterstock, Acme Falls.
Oh, Acme Falls, yeah. Let's whisk ourselves away to the snow-covered Acme Falls and see what hijinks await us in Wacko's Wish.
Sepperosu.
Thank you.
Well, welcome back, dear listener. We've just completed watching Wacko's Wish. So what did you all think of Wacko's Wish?
I thought it was a swell movie. Not enough pathos, though. Needed more.
I thought it could have gotten darker.
Yeah.
But
Dot could have died. That would have been good.
Yeah, it's... I haven't watched that movie since I was like 12, so...
That movie in the recent years, but I'm not going to say anything about it. We're almost 30. Yay!
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
We're going to be Slappy Squirrel soon.
Oh, homie.
Homie.
We realize that, viewers, none of us can do a convincing Marge accent, so we apologize during that viewing. But with that, I have no other notes. I used all my notes in the intro. So, any initial thoughts?
Like, well, know? for I would assume that with most of these like WB movies at the time, we probably don't get a lot about their production. Mm-hmm. You know, besides, I don't know. This was supposed to be the finale. It was supposed to, you know, it was made for TV. So there's probably not much tea to spill about that. No, it was good. It was exactly as I remember it. Mm. A lot of, you know, usual Animaniacs meta jokes.
Yeah. A lot of pop culture celebrities. I wish they would have went a little bit more. In fact, the younger me, like, inside me was like, I thought they went a little harder on the jokes too. But it didn't match up to my 27-year-old memory.
Yeah. Our minds are going, but
when we get to the Rankin Bass films, we'll be living in the youth. Don't worry. When we have that 10-hour day where we're just like, all right, on to the next movie.
Grant me death.
And Grant,
ice money.
It's Christmas in July. What is his name? It's something stupid.
I'm pretty sure it's Paradox. It's something time, like, yeah. It's
the Vulture.
Time Bird.
The Vulture from Rudolph Shiny New Year.
This is a preview of our banter to come with the Rankin Bass Marathon. Shiny New Year? Hold on.
Yeah, Rudolph. I know. Are you quoting me if I know the exact title?
Rudolph's Shining Erupting Gundam New Year.
Shining Finger Blast, Rudolph.
All right. I'm pulling up the IMDb page.
See what heavy hitters are in the cast, Gran, for us.
Red Skelton is Father Time / Baby Bear.
Yep.
Who are you talking about?
There's a fucking vulture. It's like Eli or something.
Yeah, he controls.
There's somebody called Eon.
That's it.
Yeah,
Eon.
There we go.
Eon.
I was almost.
Eon. Vulture. It would have bothered me to no ends, Grant. So thank you.
His name is Eon. Oh, on the villain's wiki, his name is Eon the Terrible. He's classified as an evil doer. Why on earth is there a villain's wiki?
We don't have time to unpack that.
It only makes sense, but thank you, Grant. So I assume that Grant liked this rewatch. Any thoughts that stand out to you, Sir Grant?
I kind of remember being being fun, like having more densely packed with jokes.
Yeah,
because I was a kid at the time when I was watching this movie last. But yeah, I mean, it's still good. It holds up. I like the songs. I like the, you know, I mean, it's the Animaniacs. What's not to like? Mm. Yeah, the highlight is for me is when they are messing around with the king at the end there. That's a funny moment.
Yeah, they dip back into the Hollywood stuff with that, making fun of the movies.
Yeah. But like I said, I thought they went a little bit harder. Not to go against this movie, it's just changed. We've gone through life.
Yeah.
We've experienced the change ourselves.
Well, and that's probably, I feel like people's sensibilities of, like, I think one of the reasons that they don't do cartoons like this as often anymore is because people, like, they're not, youths these days aren't as entertained by, like, the slapstick, you know, anvil safe thing. And at some point that was hysterical, but I feel like this baseline of cartoons doesn't sell as well as it did back in the day. So, I mean, even the Animaniacs.
The Animaniacs?
Were like the... they were like one of the last hurrahs for that, too. So, aside from like the Looney Tunes back in action movies. So.
Oh, God. Which I watched on nightcaps at the theater.
Oh, Mark. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And it did not age well. It was still funny, but not as funny as I thought it was initially. But it's good all around. Shall we get into the plot of this film?
Certainly. Sure. Either way.
Love your enthusiasm. Something that I didn't know, the Wikipedia article also mentioned to me, and it's been a long time since I've seen this, is that the plot is based on the Marx Brothers Duck Soup, which I haven't seen since college, by the way. I do like that movie, but I don't remember how that meshes up completely with the Warner Brothers in their Race to the Wishing Star.
Well, it wasn't that also like a rat race type, they're trying to make money.
Yeah, well, that's like everything that it parodies all of. So I guess that's the big thing, like the almighty race. We've got Mad Max, we've got Rat Race, we've got Wacko's Wish.
So it's like, I think it's probably like a get rich quick scheme, but they're making fun of, because I feel like they're making, like, even though what the critics are calling like pathos is still like they're making fun of depressing magic movies. I would assume, I don't know, but
So in the town of Acme Falls, within the kingdom of Warnerstock, all the people, including the mime, live happily together. And this is supposed to be like the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang analogous Bavaria reference, I assume. Yeah. We've got like the Nishtin Castle sitting there.
Well, what's your boy's Bedknobs and Broomsticks town? What's the name of it?
Pepper and Jai.
Oh, you got that, by the way.
You don't understand our love for that movie.
You be a god. All right. But that place.
Did you expect paused?
Yeah, you can't throw out a Bedknobs question without getting a prompt answer.
If you're ever on Wheel of Fortune or fucking Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you know where to phone a friend.
What famous Disney film starred Angela Lansbury as a...
There could be only one.
Princess Witch. Speaking of, we gotta watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang together, because that's another grand favorite.
It's a real banger. That one.
Not touched by a remake yet, I don't think.
Thank God. No.
I don't think they've attempted that, right?
They had a musical adaptation of it. Oh. And Bedknobs is recently getting a musical adaptation on the West End. So, Dan, next Christmas, you better be up with some tickets. And Grant, too. We'll be the only critics that can handle that on stage.
I'll be the first one in line to. Bedknobs on the stage.
All right, so we realize that Warnerstock has lost their beloved king and queen, not mentioned Sir William the Good, who looks different in this opening scene as opposed to the end scene.
Misleading marketing.
But Warnerstock enters a state of civil war with their neighbors, the kingdom of Tiktokia. So even the Warner Brothers had predicted TikTok before it was a thing.
Ooh.
Was that a stretch?
Yeah.
Listen, I took the notes. Y'all can shut up. I tried my best. TikTokia is a parody of Time Inc. at the time of its merger with Warner Communications.
Okay, I did not get that. That is funny. All right. That's amusing.
But my joke can just be abandoned on the wayside, huh?
Yeah, we'll move past it.
Forget it ever happened. And this is led by King Salazar the Pushy, and he's drawn as a caricature for the classic film actor Basil Rathbone, and wearing a cloak with a collapse that resembles rapper Flavor Flav's clock necklace. So he's an amalgamation of some pop culture icons: Basil Rathbone, classic movie star, and Flavor Flav,
That makes sense. I had like a memory gap that I was going to ask you two about, if that was like some executive on the Animaniacs that I forgot about. But I don't know, I guess they never used him in the show. Right, he's just movie exclusive.
All the members of Warnerstock are now poor and miserable due to overtaxation, and this is also a parody of the formation of Time Warner, now Warner Media, owned by telecom conglomerate AT&T, which acquired Time Warner in 2018. So even then they were predicting
Yeah, like
what was gonna happen.
I I mean, maybe it's like, oh, this is our animation department now. We're all like, everyone's out of money and sad. So
yeah.
Oh.
All our classic characters are here. We've got Baron von Plotz, who is now kind of the Sheriff of Nottingham character who's collecting the taxes upon the poor Warners and company. And I have to ask, gents, I know Grant would probably be willing to ask this, who's your favorite Animaniacs character?
Slappy.
Slappy.
Slappy's, yeah, Slappy's the top tier Animaniac.
Not a secret, not a hidden,
not a rare one, but a good one.
Who, Dan, struggle through the annals of your memory, your mind powers. Who did you connect with the most, if you've ever watched the show, even if just an episode or two, Dan?
Well, the one, I mean, I would say that the Brain is probably my favorite of the whole crew. That a mainstream answer, I don't know, but yeah, Brain.
I just love him for his fucking Orson Welles impression. Yeah, like, that's fucking LaMarche, I love him.
Yeah, like it's iconic.
Using that word loosely, of course. Three siblings, Yakko, Wakko, and Dot, the Warner siblings, are particularly broke as Dot needs an operation, but we don't know what for. We assume it's some form of TB or cancer going into this, and I love that the movie keeps that hidden till the end. It's a good reveal. It's like one of the funnier reveals of this film. Wakko finds work in another town in order to pay for this, but immediately the movie goes into like 3 years. It's like they waited the spring, the summer, the fall, and the winter.
Yeah.
And then the next one, which I did not remember, I was like, oh, we've grown 3 years in time with these characters initially, which is crazy in that. And he returns on the train holding his fortune, which happens to be, Grant, why don't you explain?
He earns a halfpenny. It's a whole year's salary.
It's 4 years' salary. More than 4 years' salary.
4 years' salary?
Yeah, one halfpenny.
Wow.
This is half a penny. What would you do with that fortune? It's just so much. And once he's done that, Baron von Plotz finds out because the Warner Brothers and sister can't go 1 second without shouting to the town what they've earned.
To their detriment, they the musical numbers.
Yeah, so when Dan makes a million, you know, Kenilworth will do a similar thing and be like, what did you earn, Dan?
They'll be coming for me. So.
Burn down his house, take his fortune. But the Baron finds out and he charges them the almighty taxes, which, relatable.
Yeah.
Really a deficit for the community. Initially I was trying to like look at the mat that they're putting on this paper and it doesn't make any sense because initially they said like a halfpenny is worth $425 in the syntax of where we are at. And I was trying to reason with this movie when I shouldn't have been reasoning with it. Yeah. I understand. I'm sorry. But he does go like there's income tax. He makes some funny jokes here too.
Oh, it's yeah,
like,
calling the king an idiot tax. Yeah. Like
thumbtax.
Thumbtax.
And that halfpenny is claimed in the name of the king. I do like this song that they're singing when Wakko first arrives because it's a parody of another one of Grant and I's favorite musicals, Meredith Willson's The Music Man, The Wells Fargo Wagon. Sister, have you ever seen such a solid gold thuthamaphone?
Oh, shut up. Sister.
You'd like that, Dan. The main characters are Irishmen.
Oh, well.
Danny's a scam artist.
All right. Hey, now.
Aren't all Irishmen?
Watch yourselves.
Can't trust them as far as you can throw them.
Yep. Once this is claimed, Wakko reveals that, and Wakko and Yakko reveal that they're sad about Dot's illness and finding no other choice. Young Wakko wishes upon a star at night. Here is the pathos of the movie in which Dot says to Yakko, tell me the story of when my parents, you know, birthed me.
And they were like, oh, well, mom and dad were a knight and a princess. And, you know, they had two sons. They wanted a daughter. So they planted a garden and from it came Dot.
Just like I'm born, Dan.
Yeah. And she was the beautiful. cutest.
Yeah. Angelina, Francesca, Bobesca, Banana, Fana, Fofesca, the third. But you could call me Dot.
Foreshadowing another plot reveal later. Yeah.
What about Dottie?
No, then you'll die. So
I always like Dot's spunk in that. She's like, you'll die. Because I had a grandma Dottie. That's enough of me. Anyway, on with the story. When that happens, Wakko wishes upon a star and we get Ben Schwartz, who Dan dismantled for the
Ben Stein. Stein.
Ben
Stein. Yeah.
Who's Ben Schwartz? Ben Schwartz Sonic.
Yeah.
Isn't Ben Schwartz like the improv guy?
Another animated hero. Sorry, Ben Stein. Dan, would you care to elaborate what Ben Stein has done?
I think he just went off the deep end politically. And he made like, because like his whole thing in the 90s, if anyone remembers, was Win Ben Stein's Money, which was like a trivia game show thing where people would. It was a good game show.
From Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, Ferris Bueller. Yeah. And I remember he had a guest appearance on Sabrina the Teenage Witch, yes. Not the new one, the old one.
Yeah, yeah.
The superior
one. He was
one.
The Pixies in Fairly Odd Parents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right, that's right. But
I think he's just famous for having a really boring voice, like a comically boring voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I don't know.
I mean, that's great. I wish I had a boring voice.
Yeah, like I don't know how he rose to fame, but he was big in that stretch of time, and he had that game show for so long, but then at some point he just like went kind of off the deep end, and he made like a whole documentary saying that people were stupid for not having creationism taught in schools, and it was just bizarre, and I don't know if it was like an ironic thing or if it was, but apparently he, I don't know. It was just such a contrast. It'd be like Alex Trebek doing something like that. That's what the whiplash was.
Don't
for me,
compare Alex Trebek to trash.
No, I'm not. No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, this is a fucking turn and you know, but
that's something I would do in my dotage. Oh, creationism is real. And then Dan would have to be like, I spoke how many hours with this man? but it's good all around. He's good in this movie. It's funny when he tries to start to sing.
Yeah.
They have a parody of like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star or Wishing Upon a Star.
Yeah, and he like deadpans it. And it's funny. Yeah.
I mean, at this point in the movie, Grant, we also brought up that we forgot to bring up in the intro that Pinocchio is getting remade. You said you rewatched it. Mm-hmm, and classic Disney film. I'm just horrified for what they're amalgamation Disney's trying to make with that, because that is a classic. Like I rewatched that too and I was like, this holds up.
We exchanged jokes about that when the whole Investors Day thing was happening. I didn't think too much into it. Like, is it live action or
they chose a teaser, which is just the 2D animated Pinocchio now in 3D, which is horrifying.
Yeah, I'm looking at the some images and it's
and
it looks
I
like
thought
it's literally
that,
the 2D designs, but in CG, which is very odd.
Yeah, I thought that Guillermo and Pat McHale were doing an adaptation of the books of Pinocchio, which I was really excited for.
Yeah,
Guillermo
I also remember
has like 30 projects that are in development.
I know. He's following the fairy.
But wasn't there another live-action Pinocchio
a couple years ago? The Benito one.
Yeah.
The Italian one. That was good, because it followed the books.
Yeah, I don't believe I ever saw it.
What kind of Italian are you, Irishman?
Well, perhaps after Christmas we'll throw that in there,
but
we'll see.
I'm into it. And then Ben Stein, that's his name?
Ben Stein.
Reveals that the wishing star has fallen in the distance, and that if you touch the wishing star, you're the first one, you get any wish you want.
Yes.
So that's the main crux of this movie. And apparently they go to bed without starting off in the night, which I would have done. I would have been like, wake up, sis. Wake up, bro. There's a wishing star right over the hills that we can go to.
Yeah, you can still see the glow. Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
But Dot needs her beauty rest, we assume. So with that, they wake up and they're preparing their... All right, NASA executive, as I mentioned during the movie, they're preparing their wooden ship with a sail on land.
A wooden sleigh with a...
Would this be feasible, NASA employee? You should tune in.
You mean you can build it? Yeah, you can build it. I don't think you'd get to the wishing star.
Will it blend?
Will it blend? That is the question.
Don't breathe it.
That's some vintage YouTube for you.
I'm ready.
Because I guess they're like tiny cat dog things, right? So maybe.
We don't know what they are.
I mean, Grant,
it's like a Gonzo situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, Grant, could little cat dogs be propelled in a sleigh with wind?
Sleigh.
Yeah,
it's not outside of the laws of physics, so sure.
We won't discuss the possibilities of it.
Yeah, I don't think we need to pontificate on the engineering feasibility of their sleigh.
So once they're doing this, the whole town wakes up in the best sequence of the movie. Mm-hmm. This is the most iconic sequence, using that term loosely and lightly. And I have to ask, like, you know, during the viewing, did you know what famous German composer composed this?
You know I didn't, but...
Oh, well, I assumed. It's none other than Franz Liszt, Hungarian Rhapsody No. 2 in C-sharp minor.
Wow. Wow.
And I knew that because musical theater. Yay, the best degree. I love it every day. But it's the best part of the movie. This part is what, you know, further cemented Grant and I's friendship. I'm sure after the bed knobs conversation, you said, "Hey, what's up?" And I said, "What's all the noise?" And
I think that was same year where we were just throwing references out there.
Yeah, and, I didn't know you before sophomore year, like junior year at least. And I was like, "Oh, where have these two been all my life?"
The fans,
you were hiding in the corner,
and the rest was history.
That's some backstory for any of the fans out there piecing together.
Yeah,
we should also. I mean, I feel like this is a good time to. Touch upon it, you can tell that they're working with a higher budget because we get little, like, fluid little...
Not on the Hulu, by 420 we were watching.
By, like, the era, we get, like, really fluid, like, animation, like, a little hint of 90s CGI in there at some parts, so it's, like, it's not movie level, but it's, like, above...
Yeah. Cartoon, like regular syndicated TV show.
Above TV level.
Yeah, I mean, it's like TV movie level, which is what it is.
It's direct to DVD.
Yeah.
VHS, sorry. So, yet again, I was like, why are the Warners shouting their good fortune to the town? Because if we'll pull a very Kenilworth move and they're like, what's that, Dan? Touch the wishing star. Your mom starts the car. It's like,
they're all taking off to get it.
They race off in a very predicting Mad Max style, as we said. Very catchy musical number that they all, like, the townsfolk don't seem malevolent in any way. They seem to be wanting their own wish, which I'm sure they would use for the benefit of everyone. And then the Wikipedia summary fails to mention some iconic characters that come into play. While the crew is racing off to the wishing star, we meet Mindy and Buttons, who I agree with Grant. I don't recognize their charm after a long while. After a few years of watching Animaniacs.
Yeah, I think they're one of the more popular side characters from Animaniacs, but they're not my favorites by any stretch.
Mindy voiced by Bart Simpson's voice actress.
Yeah,
and Buttons the dog.
I feel like in the modern era, Mindy would probably be memeable because she's like, okay, miss,
okay, I love you, bye.
Yeah, like people would find, you know, that would catch on.
Can we apply that to the cyberpunk people? Okay, I love you, bye-bye.
Bye. I guess I could see why people would find her endearing. But the dog and the baby thing is like a classic.
Yeah,
gotta save her from.
Yeah, and we get like the Tom and Jerry, like, you only see the ankles or back of the mom figure.
Yeah,
which I enjoy that reference to, like, olds.
And she's Snow White. Or she heavily is, implied to be Snow. She's, yeah.
But, like, modern references, like, oh, I gotta give this pie to your grandma in the retirement village.
Yeah, otherwise she does wheelies around the racquetball court.
I just love old humor. That's why I love, like, the Golden Girls and shit like that. That's my cup of tea. I think that Grant would be superiorly into the Golden Girls if he's into the fucking Sally Squirrel character. Well,
if we want to get
Squirrel.
Whatever.
If we want to get tangential, B. Arthur was in the Star Wars holiday special.
I know. It's Life Day. What are you doing?
She's
telling me B. Arthur trivia. Like, I don't know.
He's the Tatooine bartender who pours liquor into some other dude's head, I think.
Fucking love B. Arthur. R.I.P. Love her so much.
You know, Mandalorian made the holiday special canon.
They did?
Yeah. Because
I saw Life one Day. Episode of Mandalorian. I'm sorry, y'all.
Oh yeah, they do reference Life Day.
You haven't seen Mandalorian? What's wrong with you?
No, I haven't seen Rogue One, Mandalorian, or what's the other Star Wars thing that I'm supposed to see?
Solo.
That I haven't seen that either.
Oh. So you don't know about Baby Yoda?
I mean, the internet has taught me about Baby the child.
You don't know about?
No, I know about Amy Sedaris being in the Star Wars canon, but I don't know about Baby Yoda.
And I showed you the first one with Werner Herzog.
Yeah, I was like, I said to Dan, why is Werner Herzog in this?
Well, the best is when you get to Bill Burr, because it's just like, he doesn't even have any like makeup or like Star Warsy prosthetics. It's just Bill Burr, just like there.
I have to watch it. I'm sorry, it's y'all. Good. I it's lack really on my good. Star Wars thing.
No, it is legitimately, it's like Samurai Jack in space.
I have to catch up before we do our Star Wars saga.
Extravaganza. That'll be years of planning meticulously.
Oh my god, Dan will have to like take a.
I am so excited for that. Like I
know.
If we could make that happen, I could give you 5 hours of content of just me railing on everything.
I'll be there.
I promise. But that's my wish.
5 hours of content.
That's your Christmas wish, Dan.
That's my Christmas wish.
I think we have to make it happen sometime after the new year, then. I think it has to be like on the docket.
It's doable. So. I
mean, it's our show, not theirs. All right. So back to the film at hand. King Salazar reveals himself in the bath very seductively. I think this triggered something from my youth. I was like,
Just like Geralt. Bringing the discussion full circle.
And he's supposed to be, as I said, a Basil Rathbone sort of parallel going on. Taxman plots and Rolf, the constable, are brought in before him and he's trying to wheedle out the information on the Wishing Star. How does it work exactly? And then he reveals through the militia that it works by the first one who touches gets a wish. Yeah. Obviously, King Salazar suggests that he's going to be the first one to get that wish, and that the Taxman plots and Ralph should kill off the Warner siblings for some unknown reason, which is extremely dark for no reason. And he's like, well, you would if you knew them too.
Yeah, if you acknowledge, but they acknowledge, like, but they're just kids, you know, so it's all, again, we're not worried about the stakes. Yeah.
They go off doing that, and then for some reason, even the Wikipedia mentions this, the Captain of the Guard is a caricature of Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because I think, even Grant said, there's like,
oh my God,
I'm pretty sure.
That cat is chewing on Grant's MP3 phone cord.
That dark
cat, cute cat is chewing on the cord.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those who are listening and can't view what's going on, my cat is chewing on my microphone. So hopefully that doesn't come through in the audio.
And Jonathan's heart grew 3 sizes. Then
it's very cute.
Yeah.
So Dan.
Oh, well, no, but I think, but Grant said, like, I'm pretty sure Dennis Hopper and other celebrity caricatures, they always
pop up.
There's the one guy who's like
Fingerprints, the iconic meme.
Yeah, the what's his name? Like the Fritz Lang guy always shows up. Like
Fritz Lang?
Like, yes, master.
It's not Jonathan.
That caricature.
The fucking arsenic and old lace guy.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I don't want to know his name. Grant, look it up while you're doing that. Arsenic and Old Lace, he's one of the characters. No, you'll recognize by the IMDb.
I know who you're talking about.
I know who you're talking about too. Yes, Master. Yeah, no, classically there. Yeah. Good cartoon, Celebrity Fair, while we're going at that. Dennis Harper is there to secure it, and he's giving his Dennis Harperness, but Salazar has another plan where he sends off the Italian rats with wings, as I've been referred to in
the
my
New Jersey
everyday.
Pigeons.
The New Jersey Pigeons. To keep track of the tax collector. And if I have so at this point, not mentioned in the notes, we get like what everyone wish for. We see that Pinky and the Brain would wish for, well, Pinky would wish for love with Farvik Newton,
the horse.
Which is a horse that looks exactly like him. So we're fine with
make
it
of that what you will.
And Brain, of course, would wish for world domination.
I think Peter Lorre is.
Peter Lorre. That's it. I'm flummoxed why I forgot. You see, I went to acting school.
Well, who was Fritz Lang?
Fritz Lang was the film. Fritz Lang? Yeah.
Okay, like, I don't know why I pulled that
Wings
name out.
Wings of Desire, right?
I don't know why I pulled that name out, but Peter Lorre is
one. We can watch Metropolis. I love that movie.
Yeah, that'd be good. That's
it's like
good.
The robot going boom, boom, cha-boom.
Exactly.
Seducing
another
masses.
Thing Cyberpunk doesn't have.
Oh my god, can I please reply to a few Cyberpunk, like, watch Metropolis. I think I'm going to tonight.
If you really like Cyberpunk,
watch Metropolis. At this point, we have the classic rope bridge sequence where a lot of shenanigans go across. They have to pull the sled across the rope bridge.
Yeah.
Somehow Slappy and what's the kid's name?
Skippy.
Bucky?
Skippy.
What? Slippy?
Skippy.
Skippy.
Slippy's the frog from Starfax.
They're going, how are they in second when their transportation is trees, just saying, I don't know, and then the Mindy and...
They're taking the high road.
And I'll take the low road, and I'll be in Scotland before ye.
But she gets mad when Skippy makes that reference.
I just love them. They're
cute. She, like, bops them.
I may not know their names, but they're cute.
Well, yeah, the squirrel is like, I got kidney stones, and yeah. I'm going to wish for retirement where no one bothers me.
Perfect wish. And they're crossing the rope bridge, and then the fucking hippos come across, whatever their name looks like, Hilda and Herzog.
Yeah.
The hippos walk across it. It's good. Like, that's the good physical comedy in the movie, because Buttons is like, oh god! Please don't walk across me!
Was one of the hippos named Herzog?
I made that up on the fly. I assume it's Hilda and Herzog, the hippos.
I think one of them is named Maria.
That's Maria. Close yeah. enough. So while
bounty
that
hunting's dangerous profession.
He's in everything. Yes. Why is he in the Mandalorian too? I thought he was dead before the Mandalorian came out. That's why I was
talking
surprised.
About. Who are you talking
Warner
about?
Herzog.
Oh.
He plays the dude
the fucking
who
rancher
pays
monster
for,
rancher
for Baby Yoda at the beginning.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
Like the big guy.
The Empire guy. The Empire guy, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like the first one. Yeah.
So then the tax collector is chasing the Warners with some missile launchers that are not appropriate to the time period, I assume, but it's a cartoon, so why do we even bother? Plots does not stop the Warners from reaching the star at the same time all the other townsfolk. However, the King's army has already built a military base around the star with a small ice palace to the side of it, and townspeople, including Plots, are all captured and locked up, so the King may have his wish. Before this, though, they do take an elixir break when Farfik Newton saves Pinky and the Brain from falling due to Pigeon, and we get a lovely, like, for some reason I remember, like, this solemn, we're all taking a drink in this process moment, which really stuck out to me. I don't know if that says anything about my person, but as a child, I was like, I like this. All taking a peace break and breaking bread amongst one another in pursuit of a higher goal.
Yes.
Yeah. As a 3-year-old, I was like that.
Very good.
That's what I felt. But the Warners are all captured and locked up, so the King may have his wish. The Warners hint that the wishing process is not as simple as the King might think in a desperate bluff. The King then brings the Warners to his White Witch Ice Palace sort of thing going on.
Pre Elsa, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was Narnia.
Narnia.
The White Witch. Another thing we have to watch on this podcast, because that's a part of my childhood, where I realize I'm a British child.
Yeah, but will you be watching the Disney ones or the old BBC specials?
Oh, you mean the old BBC that my neighbors gifted to me?
Sure. I didn't know that.
They're in the armory, then we have them. So.
I've got that whole 4-hour special, baby.
Well, I've watched them all. So.
So while they're at the King's castle, there is some, cute humor going on here where they're like, you're going to adopt us, mister, be my daddy. We love you. And he's like, no, you got something on your schnoz, go wipe it off in the bathroom. They go to the little King's room. All very funny. All very.
Sends them to the hall
gosh.
Of your worst
horrors,
nightmares.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
And each one was a horror. I got Dan to pay attention to the movie by saying there's a Seinfeld reference. His head spun around like the fucking Exorcist. He's like, what? And I went, no, it's Jerry Lewis.
It was the wrong Jerry.
I gotcha. But Jerry Lewis singing, his voice is so horrible. Of course, then we got the gas station that's covered in roaches and bugs.
The uncleaned gas station restroom.
And then the Barney parody, Baloney the Dinosaur. Mm-hmm. Who I remember lucidly from this movie. Yeah.
Well, that's his canon name is Baloney the...
Yeah.
Well,
that's the canon name. He's in other Animaniacs shorts.
After being traumatized, the Warners tell the King that any wish which he makes may have an ironic twist which I enjoyed. That's like teaching children about the monkey's paw right there. It's like, oh, I wish to be young forever. You're going to be 16 and covered in pimples and no one will ever date you, Dan.
Yeah, it's like semantics. You got to make sure the semantics of the wish are correct.
Yeah, so. Teaching the children, teaching the youths.
The Dragon Ball characters have fallen victim to that, so yeah.
As we'll see, and Grant will never probably listen to those episodes, but...
Oh, no, probably not.
You should top 30 in Japan, baby. Maybe you should listen to make it top 30.
Number one.
The power of the power of one.
Well, Grant, you're invited for a Pokemon 100th anniversary celebration coming up too.
And then the power of two.
Grant's gonna be seeing us for the next couple months, isn't he?
When we go to Japan, whenever we're allowed to travel again, you're going to be like recognized on the street.
Dan Ryan! Fat ass Jonathan Sarkowski!
The media will come to sleep.
Paparazzi, quick into the tunnel!
Oh.
I've watched The Crown. I can do this. Anyways, after being traumatized, the Warners tell the king, okay, any wish? Blah blah blah. He orders the Warners executed, but Dot does her cuteness to save them by using Dennis Hopper's character, who's really into like 8-year-old characters.
Well, I legitimately, well, I'm assuming that that's not supposed to be as dark as we're taking it. It's just supposed to be like, oh, she's so cute.
Yeah,
but
that's how you're supposed to take it. I don't think
I blame Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, I would assume.
I would assume there's some dark undertones.
I think it's just the joke is that Dennis Hopper is like, oh, she's so cute. It's a cute little dog cat thing. And then, but then, I mean, later he brings her flowers. I don't know.
He never.
You're reading too much into it.
Yeah, it's, we're probably.
Yeah,
The years have made us cynical.
Which, my podcast, I can read into it as much as I want when we get to Rudolph and Frosty's shiny new year Christmas in July.
Find the bathos in that.
As King Salazar is about to make his wish for the Warners to leave him alone, the Warners show up and he tries shooting them himself with a cannon. The cannonball explodes after landing just short of hitting the Warners, injuring Dot from the shockwave of the blast. And this is a good portion of the movie where Dot is seemingly dying. And she's drawn in a very melodramatic, sad face style fashion.
Yeah, everyone is.
Yeah, with over exaggerated facial features. And Yakko reconvenes the story that he shared with her in the beginning of the motion picture, and then she dies in his arms.
Yeah, seemingly.
And the entire cast goes, "Aw."
Seemingly, yeah.
Seemingly.
Dot appears to die, causing the people of Acme Falls to cry in sorrow, along with the royal army, who becomes furious with King Salazar for his cruel nature. At this point, before when they see the wishing star, we get Yakko going, Mr. Spielberg loves this shot.
Oh, yeah. Because it's like Close Encounters or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Or Poltergeist, allegedly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
As everyone turns on the king, who seemingly appears a little remorseful, Wackwo seizes his chance to head to the star, reaching it in time. Dot reveals that she had just been acting and was not actually injured or dead. Same reaction I have with Dan on every week. It's like, do those acting courses pay off? Well,
I'm going to say no.
But Wackwo reaches the star first, even though this cannonball technically should have gotten the first wish.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be a joke about
that. To be sentient, right?
Yeah, but there was. It kind of just gels into the...
Yeah. But Wackwo wishes for 2 hay pennies. And he is the richest man in the land. Wackwo uses the second of these to buy food and season tickets for the Lakers, a joke that is repeated. The first one pays for Dot's operation, which is gloriously revealed to be just a beauty mark surgery going on.
She can be an actress.
I love this. I love this as a child. I said, very that. I pointed my finger at the screen and said, that's me.
It's a good, it's a good joke to like end the whole thing on, so.
Yeah. Wacko's first hay penny, however, returns prosperity to the town as the butcher, the baker, and the grocer spend the money that they earned. Everyone gets a little happy ending, except for the mime. While in the hospital, Yakko, Wackwo, and Dot's birth certificates are revealed that they are the true heirs to the throne. Their parents, seen for the first and only time in a portrait, were the king and queen of Warner stock. They literally boot Salazar out of the palace, and he is attacked by his own dogs. The Warners use their newfound royal authorities to grant the citizens of Acme Falls their wishes, except for the mime. So we see, like, Grant, you have to help me with the names. Rita the Cat?
Yeah, what? Rita and Runt?
Rita and Runt, they're working for Dr. Scratch and Sniff.
Well, they get to live. They get to live a comfy life.
Yeah, and then they live with him.
He runs a soda company. Like Dr. Scratch and Sniff, like runs.
He opens an elixir company. Hello, Nurse is head of the company and designed the bottle after her own body. It just came to me, which is a good joke.
Yeah, well, she gets to do. She wanted to to be envied for her mind, so she gets to run the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The squirrels live in ecstasy with some non-canon rare, as Grant would describe it, rare squirrels.
Yeah, Skippy gets a love interest squirrel at the end.
The 11th hour.
Yeah, at the 11th hour. Yeah, it's a rare animaniac. Never before seen.
Brain becomes prime minister.
Yeah, so he gets political power.
Yeah, and Pinky falls in love with Farfik Newton.
Yeah,
and is allowed to live happily together. And the mime, unfortunately, is crushed by a safe. And Yakko stating, "I don't know about him, but that sure was my wish. So don't be a mime, children, unless you're in Pali Ratatouille. Future watch on this podcast." Do you not like Ratatouille? There's a musical coming to Broadway.
I'm fine with Ratatouille.
I don't like Ratatouille. What do you?
Fine with Ratatouille. I'm fine with it. I accept it.
Dan. Dan.
A dirty chef, dirty apron, dirty sleeves. Mon Dieu.
Chef Gusto.
Gusto would never allow you to work in this restaurant.
I wanted to say Waluigi, but it's Linguini.
Close enough if you squint. Yakko then spins the Wheel of Morality, to which I replied, more shows need a Wheel of Morality.
Yeah.
The internet needs a Wheel of Morality. Like, what did we learn from today's lesson? Let's turn the wheel and find out. And they find out the moral is just cheer up and never ever give up hope, which is the moral for the film. And the film ends. We did it, gentlemen. Yeah. We made it through Wacko's Wish. The first of many.
It was a good tune.
Yeah. Good tune. Any final thoughts before we put this one to bed? Dead silence.
Nope.
Well, I mean, people know the Animaniacs are quality. So certainly, I mean, we can recommend this to any, you know.
Yeah, what would our tasting time be?
Well, because there was like a whole stretch in the 90s.
Putting his fingers to his chin.
Yeah, I mean, there was a whole stretch in the 90s where WB did a lot of these direct-to-video animated features, like the Batman animated series got a lot of them, like the Mr. Freeze movie that was quality, the other, you know, so they were attempting to corner this market at that time, and if you're an animation fan, you check it out.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree. I think this is for fans for, like, that classic 90s trying to recapture their childhood, as we did, who were born in the 90s, unfortunately. Maybe late 80s might be into it, too.
Yeah.
You know, if they grew up with it. It's just something I, like I said, the only flaws I would give this film is, like, I thought it went a little bit harder into the celebrity references and the pop culture.
Like the absurdist stuff.
Yeah. And I think the normal show does that. Like, the even the remake does that.
Yeah, the show does that a lot.
And yeah.
The movie doesn't as much.
Yeah, but I think that, yeah, it was marketed to children a little bit more. But that's fine. That's totally okay. I'm glad that children are getting a little bit more cerebral challenge in their life.
Yeah.
And I hope that children watch this. Grant, any final thoughts?
No, it's a good little movie. I recommend it if you're an Animaniacs fan. But if you are a fan, you've probably already seen it.
All right. Well, with that, is there anywhere that our audience can reach us on social media?
You can follow me at King_Danis on
Instagram. And on the Cyberpunk Reddit, of course.
Cyberpunk Reddit, yes, yeah. Yes. In there. You stir in the pot. But then also our adjacent Anime Was Not a Mistake podcast Instagram account.
Yeah, and you can follow me, Jonathan Wachowski, at least in my mind, JK on Instagram, Drink and Read JK on Twitter, and my other podcast, Nightcaps of the Theater, coming back at you whenever Matt Cabrera is free from work, which could be next month, which could be tomorrow. I don't know.
Only Father Time.
It's coming. We're in the middle of our Halloween, but it's Christmas. It's nearly Christmas. But I'm sure Matt will be able to pull it out, and I'll be able to get those lost episodes to you soon, as I say every week, but here I am. And Grant, where on social media can our audience find you?
Nowhere. I have no social.
Well, Grant will be coming to us in a few weeks' time. Mm-hmm. But till then, Dan, you've got something excellent to tease in the freezer, I might say.
Yeah, you know, we're doing loosely Christmas adjacent things for the next couple weeks for this season.
Holiday adjacent, Dan.
Holiday adjacent.
We have to bridge the gaps.
Yeah, well, no, and I mean, in the specific, for this next movie, it's mostly Christmas, but it, you know, it, we want to get festive. We want to stay festive. Mm-hmm. And what's more festive than a deformed penguin man kidnapping children in the dead of night and putting them in a duck train? So I'm of course talking about Batman Returns, starring Michael Keaton, Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, and Danny DeVito as Penguin in the role of a lifetime.
It's going to be a piece de resistance.
One of my favorite movies. It is holiday adjacent, and the dark winter atmosphere is just fitting for our dark holiday atmosphere in real life. So I am looking forward to showcasing it. So,
So say bye-bye, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I love you. Okay, bye-bye.
Here at Anime Was Not a Mistake, we have one mission. Whether you be a magical girl, a giant fighting robot, a raccoon, or just a fan of podcasts in general, we hope to one day arrive at a definitive answer to the following question. Is anime a mistake? While we obviously don't think so, there's no harm in expanding our weeb horizons now, is there? As of late, our humble little show is devoted to the analysis and discussion of movies, series, and episodes that show off that powerful art that is animation. However, none of this would be possible without listeners like you. If you like what you hear on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and more, then why not support us on Instagram at Anime Was Not a Mistake Podcast, or on Facebook at Anime Was Not a Mistake Pod. We promise to go halfies on the sake with you. Join us, won't you? This time and the next. And with that, Dan and I leave you with a to-be-continued as the chill anime beats play. Sayonara!